CRJ227. This is your week number 6 podcast for the summer term. And we move on to a discussion of searches without a search warrant. So think about all we've discussed in the prior weeks, last week especially, and now we're moving to searches without a search warrant, and that's what we're going to focus on. We also have a part of the discussion continuing with the use of force and deadly force. There's 6 major exceptions to the search warrant requirement, and we've gone into these a little bit in past weeks, but I'll review those here. Those 6 major exceptions to the search warrant requirement are: search incident to a lawful arrest, the plain view exception, consent, automobiles, or the automobile exception, and then emergencies or hot pursuit. And finally, one of the first things we talked about, stop and frisk. So from the first week on, we've touched on and read about several examples of each of these things by way of the cases and news items and procedural law we've explored in the past 5 weeks. It's just part and parcel of a lot of these different things. And as you've discovered, you know, there's not a court case that you're going to find that only focuses on one issue in this realm, because there's always multiple issues. And all the cases have the same sorts of elements: a pursuit, arrest, searches of some sort, gathering of evidence, etc. We need to be familiar with and follow the law and expectations as to each of those 6 distinct search warrant exceptions. Obviously, these 6 are referred to as the major exceptions because they go hand in hand with the most common, most likely, and the most expected circumstances of law enforcement as it interacts with the public each day. I want to share some additional thoughts about 2 of these 6 exceptions: vehicles and consents. Some of you know, as police officers and interns, law enforcement conducts a lot of traffic stops. And we've already talked a little bit about the realities of law enforcement, not just in our region, but then in larger cities. A lot of law enforcement evolves out of a vehicle. If you're in the internship this summer, you've been part of traffic stops and you've seen this up close. Some of the rest of you may have been on the other side of a traffic stop. You may have experienced it firsthand. You've been pulled over. I too have been on both sides because I am old and my career's taken me through a few twists and turns. And the world's changed greatly in my lifetime, but I have some wide range of experiences on both sides of stopping a vehicle and being stopped while driving a vehicle. And I have some other experiences related to vehicles, stops of vehicles, being the hearing officer deciding cases related to those stops. So I have a few distinct thoughts about traffic stops and consent to search. So let's get the first reality out of the way immediately. When I was in position to make traffic stops, there were no such things as dash cams or even cell phones. I know, I'm old. Any photographs somebody may have taken or have of a stop would need to have been taken by a camera that printed that on film, and that film would have to be developed. It just wasn't something that happened as a general rule. Today, dash cam video allows us to record video and audio a stop and what occurs thereafter, and even if the dash cam is not installed on the police vehicle or is for some reason turned off, the likelihood that someone has a phone out and is recording the event is pretty high. I know you may think I'm stating the obvious, but before you dismiss me as some crotchety old dude who's talking about the old days, here's the point. And this is a point I want you to take away from this part of my reminiscing. Before dash cams and cell phones, you had only your report to document your reason for the stop. The circumstances that led up to an arrest or a search of a vehicle by consent or otherwise, the only thing that you had to go on was your report. So back in the day, you would better find time to make notes, to draft a clear and well-stated report, and you'd better document all you had encountered and did as you hopefully followed the law. Now fast forward to today, and many state laws and departments have policies that dictate the dash cam be engaged and operational and up to and during the stop. Initially, some in policing found this intrusive, and they worried about being second-guessed. Had I still been a police officer at the time these came in, I might have shared those concerns. And I had other concerns in the early days of the dash cam technology. I was hearing cases at that time, and so I had some concerns. Policing was changing rapidly at that time. As it turns out, I think most in policing value the dash cam for two reasons. One, it provides an unequivocal proof of the reason for a stop. Provides proof of the reason for the stop, the reasons for arrest or search, and all of the circumstances and things related to those events are recorded. As long as you follow the law that we've been talking about all summer long, you got no issues. These cases are based on vehicle stops, arrest, and most often a search of the person in the vehicle. You know, I've heard and decided these cases for over 20 years, and during that time, the dash cam changed the entire landscape for vehicle stops, providing protection for both citizens and the police. If a stop, arrest, and search is good, it's on video. If a stop or arrest or search is not good, it's on video. But I want you to understand something. You still need to talk about, or you still need to plan to write what you have recorded, what you observed in a report. And I'll get to that in a little more later. Remember, all you need is reasonable suspicion to stop a vehicle. A law enforcement officer is within his or her rights to stop a vehicle if the officer has reasonable suspicion that a traffic violation or crime has occurred. An investigatory stop allows the officer to inquire into the reasons for the suspect's behavior, such as deviating from his or her lane of traffic. However, a stop of this nature must be temporary. It should not last any longer than is absolutely necessary to carry out the purpose of the stop. Additionally, the methods that the officer employs to investigate should be the least intrusive means that are available in order to confirm or dispel the officer's suspicion in a brief period of time. There are times when a stop is made on reasonable suspicion. The person driving appears to be an individual known to be without a driver's license, for example. And there are times when a vehicle is stopped on probable cause, traveling above the speed limit, crossing the center line, or there's some other clear moving violation. Again, those things are going to be recorded. From those reasonable suspicion stops, the dash cam records the entire encounter with the initiation of pursuit, stop, all the way to the end. And now most departments, except for some of the smaller ones, officers have their body cam in addition to the dash cam. In those probable cause scenarios, there isn't much counterargument to the video of a vehicle crossing the center line, driving after dark with no lights or at a high rate of speed, etc. It's right there in the video. The final point on the dash cam as it relates to your report, and yes, you will still need to draft a report and present a well-written report to your supervisor and get that report approved. You may be asked to review and testify about what the dash cam video shows while on the witness stand. But you also have a report, and it'll be the report you will be cross-examined on, as well as your consistency in that report to both your testimony on the witness stand and the evidence presented by the dash cam video. So, stated many times in every class I teach, it's the reason why we do so much writing in my courses. You have to be able to write a good report. It's the reason why if I find or believe, and most of the time it's I know, you wrote your class assignment on your phone, I tell you, go find a computer. Use spell check. Check your grammar. Proofread what you wrote. Because someday you're going to be held to it. And you don't want to look like a fool. You have the benefit of being able to review your dash cam video and write a good report. And you have the ability to go back to your report when you testify. If you write a horrible report and you have to testify about that incident 6 months later, you're going to testify in a less than ideal manner. You may be made to look like a fool by the attorney representing the defendant, maybe by your own prosecutor, maybe by the judge. It always just drove me crazy when I'd have a former student who wrote a really crappy report and then testified in a less than admirable way, because it reflects on all the rest of us, every one of us who graduated from these programs. Reflects badly on them, and I never want to see you have that happen to you. So, practice your writing now. Regarding consent, it's actually pretty simple. First, many departments teach and train with specific language for seeking consent to search a vehicle. Use that language. Use it consistently. Do not vary. Do not move from that language. Second, if consent is provided, make sure the acknowledgement is verbal and clear. Finally, don't be surprised if the driver of a vehicle that is clearly visible contraband or a cloud of cannabis smoke, when that used to be something like that, you know, something you knew, provides an emphatic denial of possessing anything illegal while at the same time providing consent to search the vehicle. I always liken that, as I think I've stated before, to the little child who suffered getting in trouble after he stuffed a handful of candy he wasn't supposed to get into in his pocket. And when the adult says, can I see your hand? They say yes, hoping you won't want to look at it. That's exactly what it's always seemed like to me. People that there's something in the car and they say, yeah, sure, go ahead and search it, thinking you won't. If consent is withheld, go back and review searches incident to an arrest. And if available, look at your department's policy and use a canine if available. An impound and inventory search or search warrant. Next week, we expand our foundation further into interrogations and confessions. So read what the other people have posted after you get your post for this week, and discuss the warrantless search. Then let's get ready for our week 7. I appreciate all you've done this last 6 weeks. I'm going to urge you, as I have been doing, to stay committed, to find the time with all the other things going on in the summer, I know it's difficult. I took summer courses myself. I myself teach in the summer course. You know, I can get distracted in the summer. But don't. This stuff is important. It's important to your future. You owe it to yourself to give it everything you have, to grasp everything in this course. It will serve you well. So week six podcast. You know where to find me if you need me.